Welcome to the New York Times Popcast, your Vine party of music news and participation on cars. I'm your host, Ben Ratliff.
Jello beats, holla at me. And chewy on some hot boy. Like I talk to Shicey when I boys. Like you seen him twirl, then he drop boy. And we keep them all to my block. And Monte keep it on him, he done drop boy. And we be wildin', he some hot boy. Tones known to get busy with them boy. Try to run down and you could catch a sh- boy.
You've been listening to Hot Boy by Bobby Shmurda, which has been around all summer.
Yes.
Although some people may not have known about it until after the appearance of a very popular Vine.
Right. And I think also, when we'll get to this later, I think there's probably a whole second wave of people who didn't even know about it off that, but who now know about it because it's number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Right. So there's an EP out, a Bobby Shmurda.
Just came out this week.
EP out. And the song, Hot Boy, is, as you said, number 8 on the Billboard chart.
Right, and the raison d'etre of the EP is it only exists because of the success of the song. Like, you know, it's not, I would actually rather hear, like, a 14-track Bobby Shmurda mixtape that did not have the involvement of his label than this 5-track EP.
Answer one question for me.
Yeah.
Can a single rise to number 8 on the Billboard chart on the strength of Vine plays?
I would say the algorithm is probably not completely conducive to that, but I do think that Vine plus what happens post-Vine and as a result of Vine can put a song there. If you look at what happened in Gangnam Style, which is YouTube, not Vine,
mm-hmm.
Gangnam Style did very well on the Billboard charts
as
they were adjusting and tweaking their algorithm to account for online plays.
Right.
So it did very well on the Billboard charts, even though it really wasn't a radio presence or a sales presence other than that. The Bobby Shmurda record is interesting because there's been two or three distinct waves of attention, almost like of upselling with the song. So basically, in June, a Vine of a video for the song Hot Boy, which has a title that we cannot say, a real title that we cannot say, that Vine is of him tossing his hat in the air and then going into a couple seconds of what he calls the shmoney dance.
It's a little clip right from about two-thirds of the way through
the video.
Through his video for that song.
And it's a very sort of like DIY handheld camera video.
And
it's
very like, Chicago drill.
To me, it feels a lot like the Brooklyn version of what's been happening in Chicago for the last 2 years.
Visually, as well as sonically.
Absolutely, right. Yeah. You know, it's also, frankly, it's very early 90s Brooklyn rap. It's like it's dudes sitting on cars on Brooklyn street corners rapping. You know, it's like this is a thing that happens all the time,
right.
And yet the way that hip-hop as a whole has gone, that stuff's been kind of, forgive the term, whitewashed out of the genre a little bit.
Kids on the street kind of bunching up around the camera lens, fading in, fading out, you know, throwing signs.
Yeah, maybe throwing a gang
poses.
Sign, yeah.
And
but then
Bobby Shmurda is 20, we should say,
yes,
and is from East Flatbush and is always, you know, representing his particular corner of mm-hmm. East Flatbush.
And then sort of there's this magic moment in the video, which frankly, I'm not 100% sure about this, but from my understanding, the video from which the Vine was drawn had been out for at least a couple months with almost no attention. And someone distilled down to that moment, those 6 seconds. And in these seconds, he tossed his hat in the air, which is sort of like great insouciant act. Like, I don't need this. And then he starts shmoney dancing, which is this, I think in the first piece I wrote about Bobby Shmurda, I said is a hard sachet, which is kind of what it is.
Nice. A hard sachet. It's a hip stance.
It's basically a hip stance. It's a side to side thing. It's shifting the weight left to right. And your arms are sort of, he does it where they're sort of like halfway in the air near his head. It's a hard sachet. I'm going to stick with that. And he does that.
And
then it loops over and it loops over. And it's hilarious because you're like, number one, where's the hat?
Right.
The hat never comes back.
Right.
Number two, this guy seems like, you know, he's in the middle of a tough guy song. You hear the song and it's like, it's sort of an angular, tough song. And this guy's dancing, having a ball.
Well, the one of the important things is, too, is that he turns around. So you see his backside
mm-hmm.
doing this
yes.
beautiful hip movement, you know, and it's slow.
It's a slow wine. He's Caribbean.
That's what I was just going to say.
Very important.
He's a New Yorker, but he was in fact born in Florida, but his people are West Indian.
Yes. So let's not underestimate that.
Right.
You know, there was, I think the first interview I read with him was maybe in Billboard. And, you know, he said something to the effect of like, you know, yeah, we shoot people and then we party. Now, I can't vouch for having, I've done either of those things with Bobby Shmurda. But he was trying to, I think, underscore the idea that like, you know, you can be a tough guy. I've known to be a tough guy all the time.
Right.
And the sheer amount of joy that he's clearly taking in the dance, that's in and of itself infectious. And the idea that he's doing it attitudinally facing away from the camera, you know, he's the Miles Davis of street dance. You know, like,
right.
He's, you know, he's just like, I don't care. You can have the camera on me.
Either that or, I mean, it's a cheaply made video, you know. It's not like,
it's not like
everything is, you know, blocked and choreographed.
Sure.
But so here's a guy who's 20, says in the song that he's been selling crack since the fifth grade. Mm-hmm.
Also worth mentioning, the beat was not a beat he paid for. That was a beat from a Lloyd Banks song.
Right, right. So there's
it's a freestyle, basically.
There's three things here. One is that the little clip from the video works really well as a vine.
Yes.
Another thing is that the video itself is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
And then the third thing is that the song has some integrity. Like, it's a great beat, and you are arguing that it is a radio song. This should not be thought of as a novelty or internet song.
No, it shouldn't be. It's not an internet song. And I think that's the second wave. That's why I say there are maybe three steps of success with this record. Look, a lot of songs have gotten really popular off of Vine, but they get popular in a very specific way. So two categories I'm thinking of. You have songs like Gas Pedal, Sage the Gemini, who's a rapper from the Bay Area, which basically became the soundtrack for like a bunch of twerking vines, right in sort of like the first Vine peak. Bunch of girls twerking, 6 seconds, Gas Pedal's the soundtrack. Gas Pedal becomes a thing. Never quite cracks radio all over the country, but becomes enough of a thing that ends up sort of on the Billboard charts. It's not like a top 10 record at all, but it gets him notoriety, gets him a record deal, and he puts out an album that's actually sort of not as bad as people, I think, said it was. But Sage Gemini is not necessarily a guy you can identify walking down the street. So his song got really popular, and you could say it was a legitimate Vine hit, but it did not make him popular.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the sort of other thing, which is, I think, Us the Duo, who are, I believe, a married couple who posted these 6-second cover songs, cover versions, Divine, which, I mean, were, to me, colossally irritating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, I mean, beyond irritating. Like, Robin Thicke irritating.
Mm.
But, very popular, got them a record deal, and I think they recently put a record out. But Bobby Shmurda is sort of the best of both of those worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sort of making Vine as a Vine hit. Hot Boy is definitely a Vine hit. But who's the star of those videos?
Right.
He's the star.
Right.
So it's not him, like Us the Duo, singing somebody else's song and getting mm-hmm. famous. And it's not like Sage's Gemini, where the song is famous, but the rapper's not famous.
Right.
All of a sudden, both of those things
you're
going to
be remembered. You're going to be remembered to him.
And then so what happened is people started trying to contextualize Bobby Shmurda.
Right.
And they were like, okay, so this is basically everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean? And you think, okay, well, you watch the video and you listen to the song, and you're like, this feels a lot like Chicago stuff. Last 2-3 years, Chief Keef, Dirk, Reese, all these guys. This is fundamentally, it's hard, it's angular, and it's kind of brittle, and it's abrasive.
Mm-hmm.
It's very punchy. It's not, there's really not a lot of melody in it, but it has this kind of like dead-eyed charm.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Shmurda is like having more fun than those guys, I think, but fundamentally the music sounds a lot like it,
mm-hmm.
Or it sounds like it's coming from the same value set.
You feel that that's deliberate?
I'm not sure if it's mm-hmm. deliberate. Mm-hmm. I think he definitely listens to his fair share of Chief Keef and GBE. You know, I think he's definitely aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they like woke up that morning and they were like, let's make a fake Keef song,
mm-hmm.
a fake Keef 2013 song, not even, no, 2012 song. 2013 Keef was way weirder than anything on Bobby Shmurda's oof. But I think it's more like it's a youthful, rebellious attitude. And I think it's like, Bobby Shmurda's probably a guy who's like, I can't make a Drake record. I shouldn't make a Drake record.
Right.
What I should make is this.
Right.
So he went ahead and made that. But there was no accounting for that. And like I said, we opened this by saying this is number 8 in the Billboard Hot 100, which is a major accomplishment. It's worth mentioning that not only is this probably the weirdest hip-hop song on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, this is probably the weirdest hip-hop song on the Billboard hip-hop chart compared to everything else.
Weird in terms of
Atypical.
Atypical.
It's not like, weird in the early 90s, but it's atypical.
It's not calibrated to be fun. It's not cozying up to you.
No, it's
really
not. No, it doesn't. It doesn't feature an R&B singer or a rapper singing or a singer rapping.
Yeah,
its melody is inconsequential.
It's cheaply made.
Yes. So every principle, every value of it is different than what's going on rap radio.
Okay, so it's number 8 on the Billboard chart, which indicates that it is maybe not only a rap radio hit, but a mainstream pop hit.
Yes, and I think obviously there are so many different ways to be a quote-unquote mainstream pop hit in 2014, but it has a very unique path. I'm willing to say that it is not at number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100. And again, I'm sure someone who listens to this and like works on the Billboard algorithm is going to send like a really incensed email to me. But like I'm willing to venture that it's not strictly because of its play on rap radio. That there's also crossover play. Mm-hmm. That there's also still a tremendous amount of internet attention. That's not just hip-hop internet, but mainstream internet.
Yeah.
I read a funny piece the other day that I forget where, but I think maybe on a Medium, talking about how this song had basically become like almost like a bachelorette party anthem,
mm-hmm.
which is vexing, but also it's catchy. And let's not underestimate, like Bobby is someone who's maybe not the most skilled rapper, but he really, you know, he knows catchphrases. He understands, like, you know, he pauses for dramatic effect. There's something kind of droning about the beat of Hot Boy.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes he has to break the tension.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good at breaking the tension. And that's the type of sort of ecstatic moment that works really well on a dance floor. If there's like...
Across genre.
Across genres, right. Cross audiences.
Well, we haven't even raised the point that some very famous people have been doing this move.
The Shmoney dance.
Not necessarily as signing off on Bobby Shmurda per se, but just the very smart thing of saying like, street Vine sensation, I'm going to do this and the fans will go crazy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Who,
am I wrong about that?
No, not at all. Who are you thinking about?
Well, Beyonce.
Sure. I saw Bobby Shmurda come out and perform with Drake this summer. And Drake, you know, Drake's doing it on stage.
Right.
They're having a grand old time.
Right.
Hard sashaying. Phenomenal time.
There's videos, and then there's videos of other people doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber loves a viral Vine.
Right.
To me, it's...
Does this mean he's going to make a record with Bobby Shmurda?
Oh, I'm sure he would consider it.
Yeah.
Bobby Shmurda, probably a more noble person than half the people Justin Bieber making records with these days. But, you know, it's a way to refract cool for those people. It's like, oh, I know about this thing. You know, maybe it's the Nene, maybe it's the whip dance, maybe it's the Shmoney dance. But the fact that Bobby Shmurda, with like a really nice smile, nice young kid with good energy and a nice smile, has this great and deeply accessible record, ultimately, with an accessible dance move.
Very accessible.
But we're doing it right now. It's, you guys have no idea how silky it is in here. Like I never seen shoulders moving so rhythmically.
The atmosphere
right now
is actually changing.
Absolutely. This is we need to make a video of this one. This is a video cast. That's all great for Bobby Shmurda, but then I think the question is, and I talk about this in my review, which is like, can you do anything else? Now, I don't necessarily need him to do anything else. Like, you know, there's people who are like the poet laureate of the United States, and like they only write like poems about like forests in Maine or whatever.
Mm.
So like, you're the poet laureate. So like, if that's okay, then it's certainly okay for Bobby Shmurda to just make a bunch of songs that kind of sound like Hot Boy.
Right, but by doing something else, you're talking about that next level. You're talking about interacting with famous people.
Evolving his style. Like, and this is where the Keef example is instructive, because basically what Chief Keef did is he got on a major label and instead of becoming more accessible, just got way weirder,
mm-hmm.
which I really like and I think critics have really liked, but he just got dropped from Interscope. So... Money people did not like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, there was no shmoney dancing. He also doesn't have a dance.
Right.
Maybe someone should have advised him to have a dance.
Well, so this will be the next test case, right? Because Bobby Shmurda is part of a crew called GS9,
mm-hmm.
which stands for many things.
Yes.
Grimy Savage.
Sure.
God Soldiers.
Mm.
All kinds of things. Anyway, two of GS9 are now signed to Epic.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Shmurda and Rowdy Rebel.
Yes. And I think, you know, this EP... is meaning to set the stage not just for Schmurder's career, but also for Rowdy Rebel and the rest of the GS9. But again, I think it's probably worth, this is probably a good time to listen to what else is good on this EP.
So why don't we hear another track from the Bobby Schmurder EP?
Sure. I mean, I think really the other relevant track, there's five songs on the EP, and I'm willing to say that the only two relevant ones from a long-term perspective are Hot Boy and this song, which is called Bobby Bitch.
Body bitch, make that body flip. You know I don't know karate, bitch. We dropping bodies, bitch. They say shooting is my hobby, bitch. And I'm a problem kid. Woke up on a roof of farmers and ain't what they talking bitch. Bobby bitch, oh yeah, I'm Bobby bitch.
Oh, you ain't know they call me
Bobby bitch, oh yeah, I'm Bobby bitch.
Oh, you ain't know they call me
Bobby bitch, oh yeah, I'm Bobby bitch.
Oh, you ain't know they call me
Bobby bitch. Bobby bitch.
This is Bobby Schmurda just doing Bobby Schmurda. This is not an innovation. This is not a step forward. What it does have that Hot Boy doesn't have is it has a chorus. But other than that, it's basically the same in terms of patterns and aggression and so on and so forth. And then you begin to think, well, okay, maybe this will work for Bobby Schmurda. You know, it worked for Waka Flocka Flame to some degree. Waka Flocka Flame never had a top 10 pop record.
We haven't mentioned him either. I mean, we're in talking about recent precedents. Doesn't matter where it comes from.
There are very few
for hard rap
that are what I mean. Look, there's always going to be hard rappers in every town. Like, it's not like that doesn't exist. But in terms of getting any renown,
right.
It's increasingly rare. I remember 2 or 3 years ago, I wrote a piece that was prophetically titled by the Copy Desk. You know, the return of hard rap. And it was
The Return of the Real.
Sure.
By Hal Foster.
Yes. Who I'm pretty sure is not taking a buyout. Pretty sure he's sticking around. That piece was about Waka Flocka Flames. Pretty sure it was about Flockavelli, which is a great, rowdy, intense, hard album.
Yeah.
And then basically pre-Interscope Chief Keef. Mm-hmm. Sort of post Don't Like, but pre-Interscope album. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember listening to those records back to back, side by side, and just being like, "Well, these sound a lot like each other, and they also don't sound anything like what's going on in the rest of rap music right now."
Right.
Which is a strange thing when you think about what rap music sounded like in the early to mid '90s. You know, it's changed quite a bit. I mean, you have sort of the ongoing dance between rap and R&B through the late 80s into the mid 90s, which ends up with a fundamentally hybrid form, mm-hmm. which ends up sort of swallowing more street level stuff whole to where the default position now is someone like Drake, who raps and sings and brings melody into everything he does. Hard records on the radio, not counting Bobby Schmurda, like when Drake's 0 to 100 is like one of the hardest records on radio right now. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird historically. I like that record a lot, but historically it's strange. So that's another reason why the success of A Hot Boy is so notable, because it sort of brings attention to a style that, or rather a set of values that's out of vogue.
So again, if we're looking at Chief Keef as the last example of something like this that didn't properly step into overdrive, and we know so little about Bobby Schmurda, really, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. We're looking for bits of evidence to suggest, like, what he could be capable of.
Yes.
I just keep coming back to that, the Vine thing, the move.
Yes.
The hip thing,
yeah.
Which makes you think, maybe this guy could play well with others. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. There's have you seen the video? I don't know if it's a Vine or an Instagram video of him rapping for, like, a bunch of Epic label executives.
Yes.
Which is sort of, like, sad, but also really great.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I think a lot of people saw that video and were like, oh, look at him, like, dancing for his supper, or singing for his supper. But, of course, everyone does that. Everyone does label showcases. Like, you don't get a record deal without doing some kind of label showcase. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that instead of him being, like, a folk singer-songwriter who has an acoustic guitar and sits on a stool, he's a guy who wants to jump on the conference table and rap in people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what are they supposed to do besides sit there and be like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how those things go. So I don't think that reflected poorly on Bobby. Some people seem to think it reflected poorly on him. I don't think it reflected poorly on him. I think it's exactly the right approach to an absurd situation like that. But yeah, but it also said, oh, he plays well with others. He wants to jump on the table and like get those people motivated, even if he wasn't totally successful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's capable of that, but what I wonder if he's capable of is making records that don't sound like Hot Boy or Bobby Bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not totally convinced of that. There are three other songs on this record all of which are less successful than those two. And the one that's sort of the most kind of like modern sounding, like rap radio 2014 sounding, is just not cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of tune on it. He's trying to put his feelings out there. I mean, and I don't want to say like I'm not interested in his feelings, because I am. But like, I'd like to see him go back in the woodshed a little bit before putting stuff like that out. I would have been much happier, like I said before, with like 10 Hot Boys on a mixtape.
If he all of a sudden starts working with the most successful producers in the country,
DJ Mustard,
exactly,
Vinyls,
right?
Just the Vinyls.
Then will something be lost? I mean, will it be like goodbye East Flatbush?
I mean, I tend not to think in those terms. I mean, East Flatbush is number 8 on the pop charts right now.
Right. But, you know, the thing that makes Bobby Shmurda, Bobby Shmurda.
I think what's clear to me from the EP is I can tell what makes Bobby Shmurda, Bobby Shmurda. And I think a smart producer would preserve that and then give him a beat that would allow him to have traction.
Can we talk about Rowdy Rebel for a second?
Yes, we can. I know
that's,
you're up on
that's
that.
That's the other guy.
Yeah, from Rowdy Rebel was supposed to perform. I went to the Fool's Gold Records 7th anniversary concert a few nights ago, which was at Webster Hall, and Master P was the headliner.
Mm.
It was definitely the worst show I've seen maybe ever.
Mm.
I don't say that lightly. I've seen a lot of bad shows, and Master P is like someone I'm a huge fan of. But it was discombobulated. It was all over the place. He would do like, you know, 8 bars of a familiar record and then fade out of it. And he brought these new rappers who nobody knew and let them rap. And it was super aggravating. And it was like 2:30 in the morning. And I was like, come on, fam.
Hmm.
I got kids.
Well,
except I don't.
Yeah.
But that's how I felt. That's how offended I was, is I felt like I had kids I was neglecting. So anyway, Rowdy Rebel was supposed to perform at that show.
And
did not. Because I can't swear to this, but what I can say is I have not seen as heavy a police presence at a rap concert outside a venue in 10 years as I did that night. And I have to assume some of that has to do with Rowdy Rebel, GS9, and like Brooklyn Street Kids getting some notoriety.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta assume.
Yeah.
So best I can tell, Rowdy Rebel was not in the building, but he was advertised.
Well, Rowdy Rebel is comparatively, he has more heft as a physical presence.
Sure.
He has more, I don't know, what do you call it?
Jouissance?
No, I mean center of gravity, like thickness. You know, there's just more,
sure.
There's more to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bobby Shmurda to me is like, what I say in the piece, like all muscle, no bone. Like it's the shape and it's the sinew, but there may not be the structure underneath.
Right.
There's something a little bit more grounded, I think, about Rowdy Rebel.
Right. So I have high hopes for Rowdy Rebel.
Let's tell him.
Who has a cool track that, I don't know, can you even get this like on iTunes or something?
I don't think so.
You can see it on YouTube. See it on YouTube.
Rip it off
Rowdy
YouTube.
Rebel featuring Bobby Shmurda.
YouTube to MP3.com.
And the song is called Shmoney Dance, and just like the other records.
We were just watching the video before Bobcast.
It's a lot of people on a street getting close
looks
to
a, lot like
a camera lens
video. Looks a lot like the
and
Boy
sitting
video.
On cars.
Yeah.
Nobody particularly doing the Shmoney Dance.
It's a signifier.
Like this is not going to teach you.
It's not a tutorial.
So let's hear just a little bit of Shmoney Dance, Rowdy Rebel featuring Bobby Shmurda.
Feel free to get up and dance while we're doing this.
Shmoney Dance, baby. I'm still chopping hard. I'm still talking about the chickens in the drawer. You don't Shmoney Dance, you don't Shmoney Dance. I call my Shmurda, tell my Shmurda set it off. And when my Shmurda set it off, they leave a chalk. Bitch, we the hottest thing coming on me, yo. I woke up in the party, I just can't abide. I do a shmoney dance, now she on my boss. Now you boys ain't buy that shmoney, we need to stop.
So that was Shmoney Dance, Rowdy Rebel featuring Bobby Shmurda. All right, now, John, there is at least one Hot Boy remix.
Yeah, there's more than one. It's with songs like this become popular, it's always interesting to see who jumps on the record. Whether it's on an official remix or just like a 16 that they put on in and throw out in the world. And there is an official remix of the song. It's got Jadakiss on it. It's got Fabolous on it. I think French Montana's maybe on it. What's really striking, and there's also a reggae version, which has like, I think like Popcan and Movado and guys like that, which I prefer to the rap remix.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting about the rap remix is you know, we talk a lot about what Bobby Shmurda is good at and maybe what he doesn't do vis-a-vis the rest of hip-hop. And here what you have are all these guys who have fundamentally adjusted to the new way of living in hip-hop, confronted with a track that doesn't actually sound really like anything that they rap on. The closest is maybe a Fab, who sort of is a very angular, blocky rapper and, like, really likes square endings to his rhymes, mm-hmm. to his lines. And there, this beat is very square,
mm-hmm.
So you don't have to dive in and out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to see people kind of try to adjust to the song and, like, maybe not totally succeed.
Sure. Well, it's like they're not part of this
they're not
movement.
Native. No, it was listening to Kanye and Pusha on the Chief Keef Don't Like remix.
Right.
Wasn't quite right, even though it's good on its own. It's good in its own way, but it didn't feel native. And so, you know, there's, like, funny moments. You hear French Montana, and French Montana is like, you know, pull up La Marina and a yacht. La Marina is that club up by where you used to live.
Yeah.
And skate off like a pirate with your thought. Like, it's funny, but it doesn't quite sound like French Montana, and it doesn't quite sound like it's supposed to be on that record.
Right.
And I found that most of the people who were on that remix sort of had this issue. It really underscored to me just how radical it was that this song, Hot Boy, is as successful and as big as it is. Because it's just defied every rule that those guys have played by for the last 10 to 15 years. This song completely undermines. Now, that's not saying that it's going to set a course for everything to follow, but it's certainly, when we look back at this year and big anomalous moments, it's like by far, it's certainly at the top or nearer at the top of the list.
All right, so we'll go out with Hot Boy remix, Bobby Shmurda with
French Montana,
Fabulous, French Montana.
Yeah, Ben Ratliff, John Caramonica,
and our rowdy rebel John Caramonica. Thank you very much.
Running through these checks till I pass out.
Pass out.
The shorty give me neck till I pass out.
Pass out.
I swear to God, all I do is cash out. And if you ain't a hoe, get up on my tripod.
That's our show. Thanks for listening. Thank you to John Caramonica for dropping by. Thank you to our producers, Jeremy Egner and Jocelyn Gonzalez. You can listen to all these characters on our Spotify playlist. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and we'll see you next week.
Cash dog, I go Zola. Shorty love the way that I flow south. Free greasy them, let all of my dogs out. Mama send no pussy cats inside my dog house. That's what got my daddy locked up in the dog pound. Free fan of them, let all of my dogs out. We gon' pull up in that...